Amen. Exodus chapter 15, we read in the verses 1 and 2 of that chapter, verses 1 and 2, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation." Today is, of course, the 5th of November. I'm sure that many of you will, as you were growing up, were taught the little rhyme, "Remember, remember the 5th of November." The full song actually goes as follows. "Remember, remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. We see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes, Guy, 'twas his intent to blow up King and Parliament. 60 barrels were laid below to prove old England's overthrow. By God's mercy he was catched with a darkened lantern and a burning match. So holler boys, let the bells ring. Holler boys, God save the King." That little rhyme, "Remember, remember the 5th of November," was actually conjured over 400 years ago after the infamous gunpowder plot. At that time in the history of England, many Catholics had become disillusioned that King James I, he had promised to be more tolerant, to be more lenient towards the Catholic faith. However, they felt he wasn't living up to his promise, and so they wanted him to exert an even greater influence for them. Deciding to take matters into their own hands, on the eve of November 5th, 1605, they hatched a plot to blow up the House of Lords where James I was staying. There in the House of Lords that night, Guy Fawkes, he was found guarding 36 barrels of gunpowder. And that was enough to blow the House of Lords then to smithereens. And from then on, society, it sees the need to remember God's mercy through singing this song, "Remember, remember the 5th of November." You know, in Scripture, there are many individuals who, whenever God came and intervened in their lives, they then decided to bless him or to commemorate his intervention through singing a song. You think of Mary in Luke chapter 1. The Lord came through an angel, told Mary that she was going to give birth to the Saviour. And we find Mary, she decided to thank the Lord through singing a song. Then there was Deborah, the judge. Also the psalmist said in Psalm 13 verse 6, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." And here in this chapter, you find other individuals who, when God intervened and God gave them grace and God redeemed them, they sang a song of praise to thank him for this. Previously, the children of Israel had just crossed the Red Sea, and they would have were now on the other side of the Red Sea. And as they look back, they would have been thankful. They would have remembered how God had miraculously made that path through the Red Sea, how he had then brought his people miraculously walking on dry land through the midst of that Red Sea. And now as they're standing, looking back at all that God had done for them, we find that Moses, he gathered them together and he led them in a song of celebration and a song of commemoration. And when we remember God's goodness, we are then to recite God's goodness, to celebrate his goodness towards his people. And this year, of course, it is a landmark year in this congregation. 50 years ago, Reverend John Wiley came and there were meetings commenced here in the city. And from then, of course, the Free Presbyterian Witness started here. And we are to give thanks. Even as we have the dinner on Friday night and there'll be individuals taking part and rehearsing the goodness of God, I wonder, are we truly thankful? Are we truly thankful for all that God has done throughout this 50 years. Oh, this week, even take time. Take time just to remember the goodness of God. Take time to remember how God has intervened personally and congregationally. Again, we think of the book of 1 Samuel. There in chapter 17, of course, Israel had wrought a great victory. Young David had just slain the giant Goliath. And after slaying the giant, we read in 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 and 7, that it came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the woman came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets with joy, and with instruments of music. And again, as David had slain Goliath, and they then returned from the battlefield, what had happened? The ladies, they gathered together, and they led the people in a song of celebration. We're not to be forgetful, we're to be thankful. To take time and celebrate the goodness of God. Maybe you look back and throughout this past 50 years or however long you've been on this earth, the Lord has really blessed you through this church or this denomination. You can look back to a time when you were unsaved and you'd never heard the gospel. And maybe in the mill town you heard the gospel for the first time. Maybe there have been times in your life when you didn't know where to go. You didn't know which way to turn. And then the word of God came from this pulpit and it led you and it guided you and it directed you. Oh, this week. And as we have the dinner leading up this week and Friday night, let's just take time. As we look back over the Red Sea that we have come through, let's take time to celebrate the goodness of God. And so I want just to take a moment and I want to bring you to the brink of the Red Sea. There is the children of Israel looked over it. And as they thought about all that God had done for them. And I want us to think about the theme of celebrating the goodness of God. Celebrating the goodness of God. There the children of Israel as they sang this song. I think we firstly noticed that they celebrated God's salvation. God's salvation. Verses 1 and 2 we read, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation." You know, if you were to read through the previous chapters of Exodus, you will not read of any singing. The children of Israel there, they had spent hundreds and hundreds of years under bondage. They had been put to hard labor and put to tribute by streams of cruel Egyptian pharaohs. They had labored day and night. They were under the yoke of bondage in Egypt. They had nothing to sing about. They had nothing really to be thankful for. In actual fact, rather than singing, there was an awful lot of crying and sighing. Chapter 2, verse 23, we read, "The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried." You read through these previous chapters, and there's no crying. There is only sighing. They were bondmen. They were slaves in Egypt, and so they had nothing to sing about. But then in chapter 15, verse 1, as they are brought and set free from Egypt and brought through the Red Sea, verse 1 reads, "Then sang Moses." You see, now they had been set free. Now there was a great gap between them and their previous bondage. Now they're not in bondage, they're in blessing and they are in bounty. They had been redeemed and delivered by the blood of the Lamb. They had been brought out of Egypt, brought out of slavery. And now, crossing through the Red Sea, they were now singing. They were now giving thanks to God for His salvation. You see, before we can sing the praises of God, we must firstly have experienced the pardon of God. Salvation must be accomplished and accepted before a burst of praise can ever come. from a sinner's lips. I wonder this morning, can you truly sing the song of the redeemed? Wonder, just as the children of Israel look back to that time in their life when the death angel was hovering over their houses and he was going to come and he was going to take their firstborn. And then they took the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb, and they applied it to the lintels of the doorposts of their house. And they were saved, they were redeemed by the blood, and then delivered from bondage and brought through the Red Sea. Oh, wonder this morning, can you look back to an experience like that? A time when the blood was not only shed, but the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to your life. A time when you personally rested and personally accepted that blood that was offered to you through Jesus Christ. Wonder, maybe years ago, even decades ago, can you remember that first mission there in 67 in the mill town where you maybe heard the gospel and you were gloriously saved? Can you look back to a time in your life throughout this 50 years, whenever it was, and you say the blood was applied? The blood was applied to my heart. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, it was applied personally to me. Because if you can, take time this week. Just take time to say, thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. You remember in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, he had went into a far country, hadn't he? And there he had served hard time. He had learned what it was to be in bondage in sin. But eventually he returned to his father. And whenever he ran to his father and received the kiss of love from his father then said in Luke 15 verse 24, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. And after the prodigal son returned, the father, he got a fatted calf. And he brought all of his servants together. And boys, they had a great time of celebration. Why did they celebrate? Why did they have that time of jubilation? Because the son had come home. The son who was previously in bondage, previously in the far country, he was now home. And they had a time of celebration of his deliverance. You see, in sin there is only the sigh of despair, but in salvation there comes the song of deliverance. You will burst forth with the song of praise. This morning, if you're still in sin, still in bondage, still held captive to the flesh pots of Egypt, still trying to set yourself free from Egypt, you have no right to sing the song of the redeemed, to sing the song of the saved. You can't look back to a time when God had set you free. You can't look back to a time when God applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your soul. But oh, this morning, if you are saved, then as the hymnist tells us, you have a right to shout and sing. You have a right to sing that wonderful song. And what a thing it is, believer, to know that whenever we come to glory, we'll be continually singing. We will be constantly singing. Revelation 5 verse 9, John looks into the future. And what does he see? Well, he sees the most glorious choir ever. And we read there in that verse that they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." And you will be permanently singing the song of the redeemed, redeemed by precious blood in glory. Oh, child of God, take that time this week. This week, and as we go into the dinner, let's have a good time of celebration. A time where we look back and we say, the Lord saved me there. The Lord worked in my life there. The Lord redeemed me at that time. You know, the late Senator Robert Kennedy visited Brazil on one occasion. And during his trip in Brazil, he was taken into the interior to visit some tribes. As he was speaking to them, he was using an interpreter. And he came to one particular man in this tribe, an Indian, within the confines there. And he asked this Indian very simply, "What do you enjoy doing most?" And you know, just before Kennedy had come, there's a mystery had come to that tribe, and many of that tribe had been saved. And this individual was one of them. And this individual, looking this man Kennedy, the late Senator Kennedy, in the eye, he said, "The thing I enjoy most is being occupied with the one who has saved me." Oh, we've been redeemed. We have been released. We have been reclaimed. Let's take that time to sing. To sing the praises of God. They celebrated God's salvation. But I think also in this song they celebrated God's strength. God's strength, verse 1. We read, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." This song that was sung by Moses, it begins with salvation, but it then continues with strength. The children of Israel, they had already experienced salvation, redemption by the blood, deliverance through the Red Sea. And because of their salvation, they had now experienced the strength of God. As Moses sang this note of praise, he was constantly praising the strength of God. He was saying, "Lord, it was you. You were the one who saw us through the Red Sea. You were the one who had to work miraculously. We came to the Red Sea. We looked to the left, all we saw was ocean. We looked to the right, all we saw was water. We looked behind us, the enemy were fast on our heels. And we looked in front of us, and all we saw was sea. We needed you to miraculously intervene. We needed you to miraculously give us strength." And in this song, that's really what Moses is doing. He's saying it was the Lord who had done it. The Lord had given them strength. The Lord had miraculously parted the Red Sea. And he had allowed the children of Israel to pass through. Then it was the Lord who had brought the waters down upon Pharaoh's armies as they were in the midst of that sea. Verse 1, "The horse and his rider hath he thrown down into the sea." Verse 4, "Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea." Look at verse 6, "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." Finally, verse 8, "With the brass of a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap." And as they then stood on the brink of the Red Sea, passed through safely, and now looking back, they said, "Lord, you've brought us through. Lord, you've given us strength. Lord, you were the one who brought us safely through the Red Sea." And whilst we are to celebrate God's salvation, we're also to commemorate his strength. To look back and remember his strength given in the past. And I'm sure that no matter how long you've been attending this place, if it was 50 years, 40 years, whatever, there have been times in your life where you needed strength. Maybe you had lost a loved one. Maybe you'd gone through a terrible trial in your life. And you said, "Lord, I need strength. Lord, I need grace. Lord, I need you just to come alongside my life. And I need you to give me that comfort when I need it." And he's done that, hasn't he? He has brought you safely through many a Red Sea in life. He has given you the strength to persevere, the strength to keep going, the strength to serve him in the midst of the battle. And so you are to bring that before him in a song of praise. Again, in the book of Judges, you read of Deborah as she battled the Canaanites. And in chapter 5, you then find that after the victory that she experienced, she burst forth into praise. And in Judges 5, verse 21, she again singing a song similar to Moses. We read, "The river of Kishon swept them away. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. You see, she was praising the power, the strength, the enablement that God had given her in battle. And whilst we are to remember God's pardon, we're also to remember God's power, to look back and to thank him for the strength, for the spirit, for the power that he has given us. Oh, child of God, take that time this week and say, Lord, thank you. There were times when I was a real strait, times when I didn't know which way to turn, times when I was confronted by a Red Sea. And Lord, you brought me through. Lord, you brought me through on dry land and safe to the other side. You know, two pastors were sitting discussing the goodness of God to them that previous year in their congregations. And one of them was a bit of a character, and he said to the other pastor, he said, you know, the Lord's been really good to me this year. And the Lord's given us a great choir. And you know, in this great choir that we have, there's one lady, and boy, she can really sing. In fact, she gets the nickname in our congregation of being a waterproof soprano. The other man was amazed. He said, what a waterproof soprano. She never makes a mistake, you mean? She's waterproof, she's watertight. And the man said, no, we've tried everything and nothing could ever drown out the sound of her voice. And you know, we may not have a singing voice. We may not have a sweet voice. But let's take this time this week to thank the Lord. To thank the Lord for his strength. To praise him for his enablement. They celebrated God's salvation. They celebrated God's strength. But I think in this song we also notice that they celebrated God's superintendence. Verse 13 we read, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. I want you to place yourself in the shoes of an Israelite as they came to the Red Sea. They had the enemy behind them, as we have said. Pharaoh's armies were fast on their heels. And they looked at the Red Sea, and really they didn't know which way to turn. They looked at the Red Sea, and they thought, well, we can't go anywhere. We don't know where to go. We don't know which way to turn. But suddenly, miraculously, they saw the sea open up before their very eyes. And there was this dry path opened up before them. And it was essentially saying, look, this is the only way that you can take. The Lord was saying, this is the only path that you can take through this sea. You're not to take any other path. You're to go through this one path that I have made for you. And so the Lord made it plainly and unmistakably clear about the path that they were to take. And then as they stood on the banks of the Red Sea, the other side, they could look back and maybe they could even point to the very spot that the Lord had taken them through. The very spot that the Lord had dried up. And they could say, Lord, in this song, Lord, you've unmistakably guided me. Lord, we didn't know where to go. But Lord, you led us. And Lord, you guided us through the Red Sea. And whilst it's good to remember God's power and God's pardon, it's also good to remember God's path. How he has led you and guided you in life. And again, like the children of Israel, there have been times and you've been confronted by a Red Sea, haven't you? You've been confronted by a Red Sea of tribulation and of perplexity, even of anxiety. And you said, Lord, I don't know where to go. Lord, I don't know that the path that I'm to take. Lord, I don't know if I'm to go to the right or to the left. And just when you felt that you could go nowhere, the Lord has opened up the Red Sea for you, hasn't he? The Lord has brought you safely through, and the Lord has unmistakably guided you through. Even congregationally. I'm sure there are times throughout this 50 years when the elders and the deacons, they have faced difficult decisions. Faced a Red Sea, perhaps. And they've been saying, Lord, we don't know where to go. We don't know which way to take. But the Lord has brought us through. The Lord has brought us through individually. He's brought us through collectively. He's brought us through congregationally. He's brought us through and guided us through the Red Sea. Again in Psalm 78, we read in verse 72, "So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." And here Asaph is writing this psalm, and he's actually talking about David and his rulership as king. And as he looked back and David's rulership and his dynasty as king of Israel, he said there were times when David, he skillfully used his hands and he guided us safely through. You see, when God delivers from sin, he then directs the saint. He guides their every step. I know there have been times over these past years, decades, whatever it might be, and you can trace your the hand of God, and you can say, the Lord's taken me through. The Lord's helped me. The Lord has made it unmistakably clear that this is the way that I'm to go, that this is the path that I'm to take. And if he has done that, and I'm sure he has done that, child of God, let's take that time just to thank him. Let's take that time, like Moses, to stand back and to look at the Red Sea and to thank the Lord and say, Lord, you've directed, you've guided when I needed guidance. Albert Einstein was traveling on a train and the conductor came along to collect the tickets. Einstein, he looked in his jacket pocket and he couldn't find his ticket. He looked in the briefcase that he had and he couldn't find his ticket. Eventually Einstein, he gave up and he said to the man, "Sir, I don't have my ticket, but I'm sorry about that." And the man said, "It's okay, I know who you are, you're Albert Einstein. I'm sure you paid your ticket." And the man then said, "Yes, that's right, I did pay my ticket, Einstein." But he went on to say, you really would need to find it, because I don't know where I'm going. And you know, there have been times when we haven't known where we're going. But the Lord has directed us, hasn't he? He has seen us safely through. They celebrated God's salvation, God's strength and his superintendence. But I think lastly here in this song, we also notice that they celebrated God's scheme, his scheme. Verse 14 we read, "The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinia." Verse 17, "Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in." This song was primarily a song of celebration, but it was also a song of anticipation. You'll notice from verses 14 to 17 that the tense there is the future tense. They were not celebrating what God had done, but they were actually anticipating what God will do. Remember this, God had called them to Canaan. He had said, "Look, you're going to go to the promised land. I have promised you a land, and I'm going to take you there." But they had just come through the Red Sea. They were standing on the brinks of the Red Sea. They weren't in Canaan yet. They still had a long while to go. And in taking what God had done in the past, and thinking about his salvation and his strength and his guidance, they were saying, "Look, Lord, if you've done this in the past, if you've redeemed us by your blood, if you've given us the strength, if you've seen us through the Red Sea, then Lord, thou shalt bring us to Canaan. Lord, thou shalt plant us in the mountain of thine inheritance." And in this song, as they look back at what God had done, they also were looking forward to what God would do. And when you sing in the past, you're then strengthened for your future. When you are reminded of what God has done, you're then encouraged that what God has done in the past, God will do in the future. And there are those of you, and you've seen God work mightily over these last years. You've seen God come to his temple suddenly. You've seen God save souls. You've seen God work miraculously in lives. And you can take that as an encouragement. Because we still serve the same God. He hasn't changed in 50 years. The Lord repeatedly reminds us in his word, thou art God and thou changest not. He doesn't change. That is part of his attributes and his character and his nature. The unchanging God, the unchangeableness of God. He doesn't change. And so if the Lord has done mighty and miraculous things in the past, we can look with anticipation to what he's going to do in the future. We can say, Lord, you've done that in the last 50 years, and Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for saving. We thank you for strengthening. We thank you for guiding. And Lord, we're looking forward to the next 50 to see what you will do in the days to come. This week, and again as we come to the dinner on Friday night, let's just take that time to thank the Lord what he has done in the past, celebrate his goodness, and then anticipate what he will do in days to come. May God bless his word to your hearts and lives today.